Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and on all the video platforms you can imagine. Where can people watch this, Allie, if they want to watch the video stream of this? Where will it end up?
Yeah, we put it on the 810 WHB YouTube page, so you can go find it there. It will be the full unedited radio version. So for on-air purposes, the show is usually cut some bits and pieces, but you can find the full podcast online either at sportingkc.com. I believe it's /Carter, help me out here, /SportingKC Show. We're going to find
this.
Yes.
Yes.
But you can find it. Yeah, you can find it there. And then the video is uploaded to YouTube. Like I said, at 810 WHB is our channel name. So you can subscribe, never miss an episode. And we'll have this full video cast where you can watch and see us in our gorgeous home studios.
That's right. And you can see what new piece of decor Allie has added to her room. It's an Easter egg. We're not going to tell you. And you can see what kinds of memorabilia and things like that we're wearing for today. I am wearing a Kansas City Wizards jersey that I received at Media Day in 1999, I believe it was.
Wow.
Because I had just moved back to Kansas City and was covering, you know, covering sports in town and went to the Media Day. They gave jerseys out to every member of the media at that time. And we are doing some throwback stuff this week that you're going to hear about coming up. So that's what I'm rocking today. Allie, you've got an SKC rainbow hat. I like that. That's good.
Yeah, this was from, I believe it was in 2018 when they did the retro throwback gear. And I remember I couldn't make it to the game for whatever reason, but I had a friend go and I was like, here's money, please. I need that hat. And so this is what I'm rocking. This might end up on the wall at some point, but for now it's going to stay right up here. Carter?
Carter's going Bundesliga style with the jersey today.
Got a Wolfsburg jersey on, and it's kind of, I wanted to tie in with our guest coming on the show, and also with our my goal to Google today involves this very Wolfsburg kit.
That nice. Very nice.
It's one of my favorite ones, and it's
and Jacko on the back.
Nice. So is that like polo, like the Giorgio Armani or whatever polo?
No, it's actually Volkswagen made a car called the Polo. I don't think it went very well. I think it maybe was big in Europe, but didn't quite make it over here. This was like their alternate to, because they're this team is in the city where Volkswagen was, and it like I guess wasn't a city until Volkswagen became a company.
Wow.
And it's kind of a weird story about the team, but
that's their
major sponsor is in that city, Volkswagen is their sponsor. So
a lot easier to fit polo on the jersey than Farfignugan. That, you know, it has to get a lot smaller if you want to do that. All right, we're going to lay out the menu for you on the show today. We are going to talk with Kyrie Shelton. He's going to join us on the show, and I'm going to give you the specific reason why he's our guest this week. And we're also going to hear from Preki. I did a Zoom conversation with him this week, and we're going to play a portion of that interview for you in a little bit, because this week on all our Sporting Kansas City media outlets, we're going to be playing back a couple of classic games, one from the recent past and one from the way, way back. On Thursday, I'm just going to lay out for you the schedule. On Thursday at 7 o'clock on sportingkc.com, we are going to rebroadcast the Kansas City Wiz versus Colorado Rapids game from April 13th of 1996. This was the first game in franchise history, 25 years ago, almost to the day, about a week away from the day. So, but what we're going to do is a really special version of that. We're going to do pop-up video style that I cannot wait to do. We have been working on this, Carter, myself and you, Chad Reynolds, Kurt Austin, Sam Kovson, Blake McFarland. I don't want to leave anybody out, but you and I have been conducting some of these interviews with different participants, coaches, players from that game in 96. So we're going to show different blurbs of those interviews through the course of the game and kind of little picture-in-picture stuff that's going to give you just great insight and added perspective in history. A lot of stuff I didn't know that I've discovered through the course of doing these interviews. And then we're going to have some just random facts and nuggets and background, things like that, that's going to pop up through the course of the game. I think it's going to be really cool. I can't wait to watch it. And as a part of the homework, guys, I went back and I watched the game this weekend with my son, Benny. We talk about Benny on the show quite a bit, as a 10-year-old. And I wanted to watch it with his fresh eyes on it, because there's a lot of things that I figured he might notice through the course of the game that I might just take for granted. Things that maybe existed back then that just don't even exist in his world, that as a 10-year-old, he's never seen before. It led me down all sorts of rabbit holes, like explaining to him what HDTV was, what the tube was. I don't know if you kids are familiar with that. If you studied broadcast back when we were in college, they taught you about the tube and the old box set, and which is, like, I explained to my son, the term YouTube. You know, that's, you probably never stopped to think about why there's a tube involved in video streaming, and things like that, all the way back to, like, he's asking questions. Why did they call him digital? And why is he crawling after he scores a goal? Little simple things like that. But it was really fun to watch it with him. And it was fun for me because I hadn't watched that game. You know, that game did not air on live television. It was a rebroadcast the next day. So I got to be honest, I don't even know if I watched that full game ever in my life before this day. And so I don't know about you, Carter. It was a lot of fun for me to go back and watch that and see a lot of familiar faces and names and some haircuts, by the way, as well, from 1996.
Some haircuts, some jerseys, some baggy jerseys.
Yeah.
I'm with you. It's, I mean, we're doing this right as a celebration of the 25th anniversary of the league, and obviously under some different circumstances, we're doing this celebration. But it's just so cool to go back and see where it was, and just so proud to see where it is now. And yeah, I'm really excited for this one that we're doing on Thursday. This enhanced broadcast, and I think Chad's putting together, like you said, we got a good group with a lot of different stuff. Been really fun talking to some players that played in that game as well. So I'm really excited. I think it's gonna be really cool.
So yeah, I
go ahead, Ali.
I just, going off of what you said with, you know, watching all of this back, I had just been born around this time, so I had, like, was, you know, a brand new human in this world. But I think what's interesting is, like, even watching back games from 96, the jerseys, kind of the look and feel of even the broadcast lasted through at least the first few years. And when I started watching soccer, and whether that was MLS or national team, you know, US soccer, I just think it's funny how much you forget how much the broadcast look changes, even from 2010 to 2020. So looking back at just even the broadcast themselves is really crazy, especially because we're so used to how it looks and sounds now.
Okay, so we're going to play some of that interview with Preki later on in the show. But as I said, we're also going to have Kyrie Shelton joining us in the next segment. That's going to be a lot of fun, because on Saturday, we're going to do our third of these enhanced match broadcasts on Fox Sports Kansas City at 7 o'clock. We're going to run back the Sporting KC versus Houston Dynamo game from 2018. And that was the come-from-behind 3-2 win. Sporting was down 2-0 at halftime, scored 3 goals in the second half, the last 2 in the final 10 minutes. I've got a story for you. I should have told Kyrie this story when we interviewed him, but if I've told you the guys a story about my son throwing himself down the stairs outside of the stadium because, you know, mom said it was time to go. And my poor wife is, you know, she's not going to live that one down. But it was an incredible game. And so Kyrie's going to join us to talk about that and other things, because that was a great one. And we've had a lot of fun with these enhanced broadcasts. We've done 2 games already. Last week it was the Chicago Fire game from 2018, and we had Graham Zusi and Gerso and Daniel Shallowy. This time we're going to have Kyrie, who scored the match winner in this one, Graham Smith, who made his first ever start for Sporting Kansas City in that one, and also Jalen Lindsay, who started. Remember, he was playing for at left back, if I remember correctly, in that game. So those 3 guys are going to join us. So you can log on, you can watch the game on Fox Sports Kansas City, but you can also watch it on our social media platforms. We'll have it on Twitter. We'll have it on the website. We'll have it on Facebook Live as well. And you'll be able to see the game on your monitor or your screen, and you'll be able to see the 4 of us on the side. And we're just going to give commentary of the game. It's been a lot of fun. We joke around about things. You get a chance. Guys, I don't know about you guys. I think for a lot of us, how many times do our fans or even us get the chance to spend 2 hours hanging out with these guys the way that we do during this? And that's what you feel like. You're hanging out in their living rooms listen to them, give each other a hard time, and watch a game back. It's really a cool perspective.
It's been great. I'm excited for this one. I'm excited to talk to Kyrie because he obviously, what a game that was, and he got the winner. And I'm excited to talk to him today. Just I'm wearing the Bundesliga patch here, and I hope he doesn't, you know, get upset about it. Because for me, I think you know, playing against Bayern Munich, you go and earn a move to the Bundesliga. That is something that a lot of people dream of, and I think it's quite the achievement. Maybe it didn't go the way he thought, but I think Ali has said this several times, and we've talked about it before as well. He was kind of lost in the shuffle of all the moves that happened in the offseason. And there was a reason that a Bundesliga team or two Bundesliga team took a chance on him. And there's a reason why he's slotted right into the starting lineup at the beginning of the year. And I'm excited to hear from him.
Yeah, no, he's definitely been a player that's come back better from his time away. Just seeing the growth individually over just a year's time is crazy. And Carter, you bring up a good point. He did kind of get lost in the shuffle because if you remember, a day after he signed his paperwork, the announcement that Alan Pulido was going to be joining Sporting Kansas City came. And I think the crazy part was that Kyrie actually had a conversation with Peter shortly after, asking like, "Hey, what's going on? You know, I thought I was coming over to play striker. And to alleviate some of that concern, Vermees was like, "Look, we're gonna try you out on the wing." And I think, you know, as we've seen now in just two games, it's been going really well for Sporting.
And it was cool back then to hear from Vermees was saying it too. He was like, "Yeah, we got Pulido. We're excited about Alan Pulido, and we're excited about these other guys we're bringing in. But don't forget about Kyrie Shelton, who's kind of not the same fanfare, but played such a big role in 2018. So it'll be good to watch that game and you know, get another example of what he brings to the team.
I think he was the unsung hero of that 2018 team, not by his teammates, by the way, because every one of those guys, all three of us have been in those situations. You don't even have to bring his name up when you talk about that 2018 team. His teammates bring him up. They all say, "Don't forget about Kyrie," because he was a huge part of what we did. I was curious to see what he'd look like on the wing. We saw him look so good at that number nine, big, strong body, able to hold things up and chase guys down. And I just, you wonder, how's that going to look out on the wing? And it's looked really good through two games. And hopefully we get to see it again here before too long. So that's all coming up on the show. Before we take a break and bring you the Kyrie interview, though, we're going to do our goals to Google right now, guys. We're going to ask Kyrie for his. Hopefully he gives us something that that we haven't seen before. But I'm going to start with you this time, Ali. Have you brought us a goal to Google for this week that we can have some fun with? And it better not be a Tottenham goal against Arsenal this time, for the love of God. And if you bring me a Rangers goal against Celtic, I'm going to turn this whole Zoom session off.
We're going to cancel it. No, we're going to bring things back over to our home turf. I'm sure as many of you have seen this week, there's been a huge celebration all across MLS, all the social media platforms, about 25 years of the league and the inception of the league in 1996 with the inaugural game between San Jose and DC. The only goal scored in that game was from Eric Winalda, and it was the beauty from out wide. He hooks it into the far corner of the goal, and just, you know, again, the game winner and the only goal scored in the inaugural match. I'll post the link to that. But Eric Winalda, as we know, has been a huge name and a maverick of, you know, soccer in the U.S. and MLS specifically. And so that goal was just really an exciting one to kick off what's been a great 25 years of MLS. So I will share that one with you all on Twitter.
A little bit of history. What about you, Carter?
I believe you were talking about Supersonico, Eric Winalda. Is that right, Ali?
Oh, yeah.
Your earlier goal with the Peter Vermees goal.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a wonderful, like you said, just a perfect way to kick off MLS with the Winalda goal. Mine is
and the crazy part too is that he had like so many close chances. I mean, off the post, barely wide, and finally it was in like the 88th minute. He hits one home. So
yeah, and saved it from a 0-0 as well, which would like obviously wouldn't have.
Right.
mine is like I said, this jersey is from 08-09, I think, and Wolfsburg actually won the title that year. It was back when the Bundesliga was competitive, before Bayern has won seven seasons in a row. I think they had like five different winners in 8 years. It was really awesome. And this team was really fun. They had this guy, Edin Dzeko, another striker, Brazilian named Grafite, and they were the top two goal scorers. They had a Bosnian named Masimovic, who was the top assist man, and they were just, honestly, if you watch the highlights from the season, those two guys up top scored a shed load of goals, and this is one of my favorite goals of all time, against Hanover 96. So Ed and Dzeko versus Hanover 96. It's an incredible goal. He takes it off the chest at the top of the box and then off the half bounce. It is sensational. Yeah. Well,
chef's kiss.
Well worth a Google.
Well, mine, because I was so hurt by Ali's goal to Google last week, giving me a North London Derby match winner for Tottenham, I had to get one of my favorite Arsenal players in a North London Derby match winner. And so I'm always partial to the Eastern European little guys, being a man of Polish-American heritage that is undersized myself. So Tomasz Rosicki is one of my favorite all-time Arsenal players.
Great
in 2014, player. He scored a banger against Tottenham in a 1-0 victory. So if you just look up Rosicki Tottenham goal, we'll link these to our social media interactions about this podcast later as well. But he makes about a 70-yard run down the right-hand side, plays a ball centrally, gets it back, first touch with the right foot from the right corner of the box, diagonally all the way up on a line into the top far corner. I mean, it's just – and he had that in him. I mean, you can find a lot of goals by Rosicki from long range like that, but that was one of my favorites of all time. So that's going to be my goal to Google for this week.
That's some good ones.
I will say,
we didn't get Joey last week, and he texted me the Wayne Rooney bike against Man City. So that was Jihardi's from last week, and I think we lost Allie, but shout out to Jeff on Twitter as well, sending through the Watford versus Leicester semifinal in the championship back in, I think, 2013, 2014. That one's incredible and well worth a watch as well. So shout out to Jeff on Twitter for sending that in.
Well, apparently my response with the Arsenal goal against Tottenham was enough to knock Allie right out of this conversation.
She's out.
She's tapped out. So she's trying to get back in right now. What we're going to do is we're going to finish this segment up. We're going to come back with Kyrie Shelton. That's going to be a long-form interview that you don't want to miss. Allie will rejoin us as well. It's straight ahead on the Sporting Kansas City Show. And the Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and virtually everywhere else on social media. We're on video streaming now. You can check us out on all the different places you get your podcast pages at 810WHB.com, the Sports Radio 810WHB app, and pretty much wherever you want to stream it to now on the Facebook pages for Sports Radio 810 and Sporting KC and all that. And now we're joined by one of the stars for Sporting Kansas City. We've got Kyrie Shelton joining us in my lower left-hand corner. I don't know where he appears on everybody else's screen, but that's where he is for me, is right down there. So with that, Kyrie, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
How you guys doing? Is that, by the way, a Run DMC t-shirt, or is that?
It is.
Nice. Do you happen to be an old school hip hop fan? Is that just a novelty shirt for you, or are you a Run DMC fan yourself?
I am an old hip hop fan.
Yeah.
So I'm a music fanatic. I love all different genres of music. So Run DMC.
What's like your workout playlist right now?
I guess it just depends. I don't even have a set playlist. I just go through different playlists that I have, depending on my mood, and just go with that.
Okay, I might have to like do the thing where I holler out to my son real quick, because I've got a souvenir to show you. Humble brag time in a second. Run DMC, Raisin Hell, 1986, I think, was the year it came out, but that was the year I bought first cassette tape I ever owned in my life. That's how old I am. And
hey, I had a cassette tape.
You did? All right.
Yeah. Carter. Mine wasn't as cool though. It was Chumbawamba, so not quite as cool.
Very inspirational though. You know, very inspirational song. You get knocked down, you get back up again, right?
You're never gonna keep me down.
So I have, I'm going to have to dig this out. My, I got to have Daryl McDaniels in studio on my morning show. My co-host Stephen St. John set it up and surprised me because he wrote a comic book and was in Kansas City for Planet Comic Con like 3 or 4 years ago. And I wrapped a verse of my Adidas in studio with him. His manager, and you can find stuff on the internet if you Google it, about this guy that hangs out with all these rappers who goes around passing out $2 bills for good luck. And I didn't know anything about it, but he was in the studio and he gave me a $2 bill for good luck and Daryl McDaniels autographed it for me. So I have an autographed Daryl McDaniels $2 bill up in my wallet upstairs. I'm going to have to grab it before the year's over just to show it off. So there you go. That's my Run DMC story. You got a favorite Run DMC song?
Maybe You Talk Too Much. I mean, Freaky is definitely like the classic hit.
Yep.
You Talk Too Much. Mary Mary. I don't know. There's so many good ones from them that I like.
Have you watched Hip Hop Evolution on Netflix?
I have not.
If you like the old school stuff, I mean, we're going to talk binge watching here in a second. That is for someone like me, and if you really like old school hip hop, it connects like every rap artist you've ever seen in a way that makes it all make sense where everything came from and where it went. So that's my recommendation for binge watching for you. What are you binge watching right now?
Vampire Diaries.
Allie, do you know about this?
I watched it. I don't know. I can't remember how many seasons there are, but I got, a good amount of way through the show. And then stopped watching it, I think, sometime in college. But I did almost, I semi-passed out in high school in a very bloody episode. It is vampires, so there's going to be some blood. And I was supposed to, like, take the ACT the next day, and I was, like, so just disoriented about it. I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to be able to take this test because I fainted at school. Like, but that was my, like, memorable experience watching the show. Very attractive cast. I mean, that's a memorable part of it. Some good-looking folks in that show. Some good-looking vampires.
I was a Buffy the Vampire Slayer guy, big time. That was, like, maybe my favorite television show of all time, and that was an incredibly attractive cast. You're nodding your head, Kyrie. Did you ever watch that?
I did as a kid, yes. I definitely watched it.
The TV show, not the movie, right?
The TV show.
Yeah. That was good stuff. Carter, did you watch?
My dad did.
Right after Carter tried to make me feel better by telling me I had a cassette tape, my dad watched the same TV show that you did.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at right now. All right. Well, hey man, how would you describe this time for you? What have you been up to? How are you holding things down during this whole Corona lockdown that we're in right now?
Yeah. It's a wild time. It's a roller coaster for sure. I've been doing well, honestly. I'm used to being kind of alone in my own space. So, I mean, without football, it's hard, of course. But, yeah, I've been doing good. We have team workouts that we do together, and then my running. I do that. And then, I have TV shows, and then I'm obviously a gamer. So I've been on Fortnite quite a bit. Trying to get better at that,
Kyrie, you told me at media day that you were in the moving process. Oh, Nate's gonna be
oh, there it is.
There it is, in the flesh. That's tricky. Awesome. Nate, you need to get that like framed in a shadow box or something.
Well, he autographed the comic book for me, and I have that in a little trophy case frame. But he told me this is good luck, so I keep it in my wallet, like in the little back pocket part, and hopefully that'll take good care of it, because I don't know if it's bringing me good luck or not, but whatever good luck I get, I attribute to that.
Hey, well, you don't want to find out what happens if you take it out. So I think it's better to just keep it there.
Yeah, you don't mess with that.
But Kyrie, you told me at media day that you were in the moving process. Have you gotten moved in yet? What's it been like adjusting to the new space, and especially amidst all of this other crazy stuff going on?
I actually haven't moved into my new place yet. It should happen in the next 2 weeks or so. I'm just waiting on some forms to be signed and things like that, but should be soon here. And I'm excited. I'm excited to get moved into my new spot and just kind of rearrange the place and make it my home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta imagine this has made it difficult for the moving process. You talked about those video chats. We had Joey on last week and he talked about the video chats as well. I'm wondering how that has been doing these workouts over video in different groups with teammates, and what's that experience like?
It's been fun. It's good to see the boys for sure, because obviously we haven't been able to see each other, but it's been good, and the workouts have been really good. Pretty similar to the workouts we have at the facility, with less equipment, of course, but very similar. Definitely get a good sweat, so you know all the guys are staying fit as they can with the tools they're given.
Joey also said that sometimes the video chats get a little funny, a little interesting. A couple of names to, you know, no one's surprised, Johnny Russell being one of those. Who's been the biggest, you know, jokester on these team group video conferences?
Ooh, well, I've switched groups. I think the first group I was in the younger guys group. So you have John Luca Busio, Jalen Lindsay, Cameron Duke, all the young guys, Tyler Freeman. You know, those are the guys. Busio or Jalen for sure. Those guys are definitely, they have high energy, and you know, it's, they're excited when they're on there, they get to see each other. So that's where all the energy is at, is right, that first group.
So when we were doing the last video enhanced broadcast, we had Graham and Zusi and Daniel Shalloway and Gerso. And Gerso and Graham were giving Daniel a hard time because they said his phone kept blowing up during the workouts. Were you in that workout setting, or has anybody else had that happen while they're trying to do this?
No, I don't believe I was in that group for that day. But no, I other than the first group that I was in with Jalen and the younger guys, Jalen was huffing and puffing because, you know, the workout was kicking his butt. So that's the best thing that's gone on so far that I've seen on the video chat.
And it's funny too, because if you don't mute your microphone, like whoever's making noise, it'll switch over to their screen. So it's like, if Jalen's really like exerting a lot of energy, making some noise, he's going to be, all eyes are on him.
They were.
Can you tell, you said you're comfortable, you know, being by yourself and in your own space. Is there someone on the team that's maybe going crazy and needs to have a little more social interaction, getting cooped up right now?
No, I think from the guys that I've talked to, they're all pretty fine right now. I mean, we're just all missing playing footy, you know. That's, you know, when we're all together, being able to kick a ball around and compete, you know, I think that's what drives us. And not having that, I mean, it's a bummer for sure. But, you know, everyone's been trying to stay as busy as they can with families or gaming or whatever it is they're doing, trying to stay as busy as they can.
So how is your Fortnite game?
It's improved a lot, actually. Within the last 2 to 3 weeks, it's improved majorly.
Practice, man.
Yeah, exactly. I gotta get good. I can't have these young guys out here beating me.
Hey, that's how it
Xbox
works.
Or PlayStation?
Yeah.
Both. I mean, I've been playing on PlayStation a lot lately. But yeah, I like to play on both.
Yeah, that's how it works. So the old guy gets their butts kicked by the young guys when it comes to video games. Because I've been playing with my son a little bit, just. He's 10 years old. That's his favorite thing in the world to do. So I'm trying to learn it. And one of the things that I learned is when you play like squads, whoever the squad leader is, the computer algorithm puts you in a game with people at a similar skill level, right?
Right.
When I play with my son and all his friends, they always name me the squad leader because then it puts him in the easiest group.
Wow, those sandbaggers? Come on.
And I'm like, I should be offended by this. I should be like so upset that they're like, well, you know, your dad really sucks, but you know, gets
to- but it sounds like a positive because it's like, oh, I'm the squad leader, like playing with the boys, and then it's like, no, it's not a good thing.
it gives me a reason for them to want to let me play too, you know, because otherwise they'd be like, yeah, you can't play, old man, you're not any good, you know. But I actually bring something to the table by being terrible, you know.
Yeah, that's all right.
Have you heard, Kyrie?
You talk about missing football, and after such a great start to a now short season, it seems like going back and reminiscing on those first two games of the season, things couldn't have gone any better for Sporting Kansas City. Going back to those first two games, what was it like being back? One, and two, just seeing the team gel so quickly the way that they did.
Yeah, I mean, being back, it felt like I never left, to be honest. No, it took a quick pause or a break from soccer for a minute, you know, or from sporting, as you could say. But it's amazing. I mean, as I came back, you know, a lot of familiar faces and some new faces added on. But preseason, I mean, we enjoyed it. I mean, people look at results and stuff from preseason, but that didn't matter to us. We wanted to win, obviously, but we wanted to build team chemistry and so that when the first game of the season came up that we were ready. And the first two games, we definitely showed that. And, you know, it's still, we're still going to play and we're still in communication with one another. So I don't think the team chemistry will be lost. I think it'll just grow from here on out. I think we'll just get better and better each game.
By the way, do you notice Carter's jersey there?
I do. I saw it.
What's your reaction to that?
No, I mean, it's amazing. It's a very good club. I don't have much to say about it, but it's a good club and I like their colors.
So we're gonna play back the game from 2018 here, and that's one of the reasons we had you on. Again, we're promoting all this content that Sporting KC has been putting out with going back to some classic games and all that. And so coming up on Saturday, let me make sure I've got the time right, on Saturday at 7:00 and then again at 9:00, we're going to rebroadcast the game that you guys played on June 23rd of 2018 against the Houston Dynamo. Now, the reason that was a significant game because you guys fell down by a score, if I remember correctly, of 2-0. And then Daniel Shalhoub scored a goal in the second half. Rubio scored one in the last 10 minutes, and then you scored the match winner at the very end of the game. And that was this incredible comeback win. The team was on their way to getting first place in the West. And so, obviously, you were one of the key participants in that whole situation. I'm curious, your recollections as soon as you hear about that game, like what are the first memories or thoughts or emotions that come to your mind?
You know, I think first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, this team has always shown that never give up mentality. You know, I played a part in it, yes, but, you know, the team fought back. I think that was the biggest thing that I take away from that game. I don't take away my game-winning goal. I don't need that. No, I think I just played a little part in that, but the team fought the whole game and, you know, we came out with the win. So, I mean, looking back at it, when Diego scored to tie the game, I think that's when everything just kind of exploded and Houston knew they were in trouble. They were able to get on that last one and score in the last minute. Or the last 2 minutes of the game.
I think you said Houston knew they were in trouble. I feel like that was one of those games that perfectly kind of demonstrates the comeback feel in the stadium at Children's Mercy Park. I'm wondering if you kind of remember anything about that. It's been cool talking. I talked to Jimmy Nielsen this week, and he talked about that energy in a lot of his games, and I was wondering if that kind of sticks out to you from that game as well.
Oh, definitely. I think, when Daniel scored the goal, you know, the crowd's always there. Our fans are always on top of it. You know, they're there backing us the whole time. Daniel scores, just the energy level raised. Then Diego scores, and it was an eruption from the stadium. Then I happened to get on that last one, and yeah, you know, it's mind blowing to some people, and you know, it's just one of the best feelings, you know, trying to push for the top and coming back from being down 2-0.
As a player, though, how impactful is it to have a fan base like that? Because as we've seen, and not even just in Major League Soccer, but in many other sports all across the country, that's not always the standard to have fans who are that involved and that passionate. So how much of a motivating factor is it as a player to be in a situation where you're coming from behind and to have the fans right there behind you, kind of cheering you on the whole way?
They give us the energy, you know. They're very important. I would say that, if not the most important. Because even when we're down, they're still there rooting for us. They're cheering us on. They're motivating us. So, you know, without them, I don't think we'd be as successful as we have been as a club. I could say that.
So now let's look at, with everything going on with COVID-19, and there's all these different scenarios being discussed as far as what, you know, MLS, MLB, all of these other teams and leagues will do in order to have sports resume again when that time comes. One of the scenarios being thrown out there is to resume play but not have any fans. What's your take on that?
That'll be interesting. You know, I think it will be a bummer not to have fans there, but you know, I believe our fans will still be watching and cheering us on from home, and you know, sending us messages or getting in contact with us some way to let us know that they're there. But you know, I think at the same time we got to focus when we're able to play games and know that they're there, even though they may not be there physically, that they're right behind us. And then that we can focus and do our thing and win.
I listened to the BSI podcast interview with Sebastian Legette this week, and he mentioned it turned from what's the worst road trip in MLS, which he said Kansas City, but he also said a part of that was because he feels it's the hardest place to play. I'm curious from your end, what is the hardest place you've played in MLS?
In terms of fans or in terms of
take it however you want to.
You know, I would have to say it would have to be either Portland or I think Atlanta's fans were, both of those teams' fans were very on top of us, and you know, they were heckling us and you know, trying to get under our skin. So, and they are there for 90 minutes straight. So, you know, I think those are the two places for sure.
So Kyrie, before we let you go, I'm kind of springing this on you. We didn't give you a heads up on this, but Carter's come up with this idea for people during the time we're all looking for soccer content. We're calling it Goals to Google. So we've been, each one of us has tried to come up with a famous goal, or maybe just a goal that maybe people don't know about from the past, that you can look up on Google and enjoy some good soccer work. So if I ask you that, are there any goals maybe from that you just remember watching as a fan, or maybe even one that you were on the field for that you saw somebody else score that we should go look up because it would make us happy to see?
From any team?
Yeah, any team.
I believe Eric, I think his name, Eric Hasley from Vancouver Whitecaps. He hit I believe I was sitting on my couch. I was in college at the time watching this game. He hit a bomb at the corner of the 18. He chipped it over the guy, or the ball came into him, he chipped it over the guy, and then he volleyed it. Like back post, and it was just, I was just like, wow. Probably one of the best goals I've seen on television, to be honest.
All right. That's a good one. That's incredible. A good one. That's one we wouldn't have had. See, yeah. I didn't have to look that one up.
Yeah.
You'll be 2011. I think
amazed by it was a banger.
All right. Well, hey, Kyrie, we really appreciate the time. We're going to see you on Saturday when we do this live broadcast. That's going to be a lot of fun. Until then, keep working on those Fortnite skills. And we will check in with you again real soon, all right?
All right, sounds good.
That's Kyrie. Bye, Kyrie. Yep. We're going to take a break. We come back. We're going to play a little snippet for you from a Zoom interview I did with Preki that we're going to air on Thursday night when we rebroadcast the first ever game in franchise history, the KC Wiz against the Colorado Rapids. So we'll give you a little taste of that interview because you're going to get all kinds of that content during the rebroadcast. That's right when we come back on the Sporting Kansas City Show. We're back to wrap things up on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show, and I got a couple of different things that we're gonna let people know about real quick before we sign off for this edition of the show. First of all, a news release was put out today by Sporting Kansas City, the Chiefs, and the Royals joining together to hashtag Light It Blue for Kansas City. I'm gonna give you this: John Sherman, the owner of the Kansas City Royals, Clark Hunt of the Kansas City Chiefs, and Cliff Illig from Sporting Kansas City put this letter out. Dear Kansas City colleagues, this Thursday, April 9th at 8 o'clock p.m., the Kansas City Royals, Kansas City Chiefs, and Sporting Kansas City will be participating in a global show of support to light national icons all across America blue. Our hope is that Greater Kansas City will participate in support of the extraordinary first responders who are putting their lives on the line each and every day to fight the COVID-19 pandemic. The effort will go forward under the dual umbrella of hashtag Light It Blue and hashtag Make It Blue. There's all kinds of information that goes along with this. Specifically, they're requesting the Kansas City joins this effort through Lighting Kansas City Blue at 8 o'clock on Thursday, April 9th. Participation of any and all Greater Kansas City landmarks and buildings with existing LED lighting. An optional video screen that would run for an hour that says thank you to all those fighting on the front lines against COVID-19, social media posts using those hashtags that I mentioned, and a lot of commitments have come in from different local leaders across Kansas City as well. So I'd like to see the three local sports teams stepping up there. As a spouse of a healthcare provider, and my wife is not on the front lines, but she is out on the lines. I don't know if it's the second line, third line, whatever you want to call it. She's going to people's homes and helping geriatric patients stay out of the hospital right now. And she's risking her health and our family's health, you know, by bringing that home every day. But she knows the risk. She's doing it anyways to make society a better place. I will also throw in there, not just the healthcare workers, but people in general who are out there doing essential services. A lot of them are doing it and being compensated far less than, say, my wife is, for example, and far less than the doctors are and people like that are doing things that are important and risking their health and safety too. So anybody that's doing that, if you're essential and you're helping society right now, let's light a blue for you on Thursday. All right, guys, coming up, we've been talking about it a little bit. This 96 game is going to play on Thursday. On SportingKC.com Thursday night, you'll be able to go back and watch this game at 7 o'clock. And I've done interviews so far with Preki. We're going to play a little bit of that here in a second. With Sean Bowers, who was a fullback on that Kansas City Wiz team. And then Guy Newman, who was the son, is the son of who Ron Newman, who was the head coach of the team, was on the staff at the same time. And it was great catching up with him too. But you're going to hear some great stories when you go watch this game. Those things are going to pop up. Carter, you've been talking to guys too. Who have you had a chance to talk to? Who will you be talking to this week to get ready for that on Thursday?
Yeah, I've chatted with Diego Gutierrez, Digital Takawira, and we might get a couple other guys in there as well. So we've got a nice lineup to include as kind of an add-on to the actual broadcast, and also a bunch of, like you said, stats and facts and figures about just life in 1996, about the game, about the league. It's going to be really fun.
That is awesome. And Digital scored two goals in that game, so I think it's going to be great to hear what he has to say from this. But, Ali, you had a chance to watch back the Preki interview. We're going to play a second of it here. But, you know, it's pretty cool to – I mean, this guy is one of the real legends of the club, and, you know, he was there from day one.
Yeah, what I found the most interesting in listening back was just the sheer fact that MLS had nothing to go off of, nothing to show for, you know, these players who would be coming over to join the league, players like Preki, who were so, you know, established and decorated in their careers up to that point and would make such an impact coming over. But I mean, you look at the EPL and other leagues all across the world that have something to go off of, and MLS was just this concept, this vision, this idea that, you know, they had to kind of put out there. And so I just thought that it was interesting hearing him talk about not knowing what to expect and then seeing how it all unfolded.
Yeah, they leaned a lot on the U.S. national team guys at the start there. They're kind of like the only few foreign guys that came in and made huge impacts. But guys like Preki, Wijnaldum, Frankie Klopas, like Peter Vermees and the like, I mean, mm-hmm. they leaned a lot on those guys to try and start this league up. So really cool to hear from him.
And I was one of the things I really enjoyed listening to all the interviews back that I did was the influence of indoor soccer in those first two, especially with the Wiz. A lot of guys that had come from playing in the MISL, playing indoor MPSL, those guys, that was the league. Those were the leagues that were available before MLS came around. And a lot of those guys made that transition. So that was a lot of fun too. Why don't we go ahead and play a little clip? This was myself with Preki. You'll see some of this on the broadcast on Thursday, even more of it on Thursday as well. But here's me with Preki. You were a guy that had already had a really good professional soccer career. You'd played in some big leagues, obviously played in the Premier League, played at Red Star Belgrade before that, had played some in the U.S., but this was a brand new league. I still remember where I was at that time. I was a sophomore in college, and we were all wondering what this league was going to be like. Was it going to work? What about as a player? What were your thoughts, and did you believe this league was gonna make it in the early days like that?
Well, when I first signed with the league, I really didn't have any expectations because it was really hard to expect something that you don't know what it's going to be, something that you haven't seen. It's easy when you sign and you're going to go to Premier League or Bundesliga or any league in the world because you know the leagues have been there for a long time. You know what to expect. You know the teams. You know the players. But coming back here, especially coming from England and from Premier League and jumping into this league, I really had low expectations or no expectations what to see, what is that going to look like. But as far as I can remember, it was a lot of difficult moments and a lot of bridges that we had to overcome.
So there's me and Preki. You can watch all that. Make sure you check it out on Thursday night, guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. Our thanks to Kyrie Shelton as well for joining us this week. Check out our goals to Google, and also watch that enhanced broadcast on Saturday as well. And maybe I'll see you guys on Fortnite at some point, you know, in the next few days.
Probably not me, but I'll watch the stream. What, you know, you can like join a stream of watching people play. I'll watch you guys.
There you go. All right, Allie, Carter. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. We'll see you next week.